This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tricepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tricepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's Tuesday, which means we will be doing our normal installment of the Blueprint Power Hour. I know a lot of you were wondering where it was last week. Well, it's here now. During the second half of the show, we're going to be joined by Dr. Brian. I can't believe I don't have his name in front of me. This is terrible. Anyway, we're going to be talking about love drugs. This is for Valentine's Day. Dr. Brian Earp, I'm sorry. And we're going to be talking about the neuroenhancement of love and relationships. It's going to be a really interesting topic. I'm not going to say anything more than that. I promise you that you're going to get something out of it. And we're doing it specifically because of Valentine's Day. All right. So we're being joined with, for the Blueprint Power Hour by Rob Regish. How you doing, Rob?
Doing great, brother. How about you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. So, couple things I want to mention. First of all, did you have a chance to listen to yesterday's show?
I did not.
What was discovered on the show yesterday, talking about dietary fructose with this well-educated about the subject scientist who does not have any dog in the fight on either side, is that including as about 10 grams, that's the magic number, 10 grams of crystalline fructose or even maybe an apple, with your post-workout shake of dextrose, whey protein, creatine, blah, 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 can actually enhance glycogen synthesis. And you said you were aware of this already, huh?
Yeah. You know, about a year or two ago, I put together a specific workout drink called The Formula. And a lot of my guys used it with tremendous success. And a big part of it, putting it over the top, was the inclusion of 10 grams of crystalline fructose, which at the time I recommended the Now brand. I think you can get a pound of it for like $4.95.
Yeah, I know. Dextrose too. You get a 2 pound bag of dextrose from Now for like $3 and change.
Yeah, and the take home is this: you know, fructose preferentially replenishes liver glycogen.
Yeah.
And while everybody is, you know, rightfully I guess focused on replenishing muscle glycogen, you can't forget about the liver. And that's done with fructose. And
well, now, let's talk about what we learned yesterday. What we learned yesterday was it's not the fructose that replenishes the glycogen in liver, but the fructose allows the dextrose to be converted to glycogen. The presence of the fructose acts as a catalyst. If you take fructose by itself, it has no effect on liver glycogen storage. But if you take it with a fast-acting sugar that converts directly to glucose, like dextrose, that is where the magic is. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a great example of why you got to stay on top of this information.
I know.
I guess I kind of lucked out. You know, I always recommended carbolin as a part of the quote-unquote formula, along with 10 grams of fructose. That's probably why it works so well.
Yeah, yeah, I bet you're right. Anyway, okay, so let's talk about something else real quick. This is kind of off-topic stuff. But you had some discussions about peptides recently, and you wanted to maybe talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know what? I think one of the things is, and it's scary, but you've got as many ideas and things rattling around in your brain as I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get a lot of questions about peptides, and I'm not comfortable speaking to them, frankly, because I haven't used them. However, you know, it's a pertinent topic because, one, they're legal for research purposes.
Right.
And let's face it, we all have lab rats that we want to grow. You know, we want to see them grow up healthy.
And they're fairly inexpensive, depending on what you're ordering. I mean, you know, if you're ordering the cosmetic peptides, they're expensive, like the stuff that regrows hair. But if you're looking at GHRP2, GHRP6, CJC1295, beta thymosin, I mean, if you look at these peptides, are so inexpensive, and they're so effective.
So let's talk bottom line. If you're into this to get big and strong as possible, based on your experience, what's the best? You know, I'm thinking long R3.
No. I'll tell you what. If you want to, that would be a second tier peptide, in my opinion. I think that a first tier protocol would be between 2 and 4 milligrams of CJC1295 a week, and multiple injections of GHRP2 throughout the day, pre-workout, post-workout, and if I had the ability to do what I'm about to say, I would absolutely do this. I would do a shot of GHRP2 10 to 15 minutes before every single meal. Because I'll tell you what happens. First of all, it brings on an unbelievable sense of hunger, which is good, especially if you're eating 5, 6, 7 times a day and you're starting to go, you know, wow, I got to eat again. You know what? You take that shot of GHRP2 10 to 15 minutes before the meal and you'll eat right through the meal. I mean, it'll be gone in no time and you'll be like, wow, that went down fast. More importantly, what I have found just anecdotally is that it also speeds up digestion. It speeds up the whole process of gastric emptying. When I use GHRP2 religiously before a meal, the meal goes through my stomach like that. When I don't, it kind of lays there for a lot longer. So my experience is that GHRP2 speeds it up. So I would say a first-tier approach is with whatever other supplements you're using, CJC1295 and GHRP2. CJC1295 will elevate baseline growth hormone levels. The trough, and the GHRP2 will elevate the pulse.
I find your comments on Celanc, I think it was.
Celanc, yeah.
You know, Celanc. I thought those were fascinating. I mean, from a wellness and well-being perspective, you know, to have something available like that is huge.
Well, you know, I think huge. If you were going exclusively for well-being,
I
would say that thymosin beta 4 is what you need.
Interesting.
Because thymosin beta 4 is part of the immune system, and it speeds up healing, and it increases a variety of different biological functions that can also affect recovery from workout, but has more to do with overall health, in my opinion. So I would say if all you wanted to do was something that would protect your health, repair damaged tissue, and keep organ processes functioning properly, I would say that between 2 and 3 milligrams of thymosin beta 4 every week is what you should do.
Yeah, and that's huge in today's society, right? Where it's just stress riddled.
Yeah.
You know, that information is powerful information to have.
And it's cheap. It's cheap. Yeah. I mean, it's really inexpensive to do that sort of stuff. And think about this for a second. People who had strokes who were given a shot of 2 milligram shot of thymosin beta 4 within 6 hours of the stroke, there was no evidence of the stroke. All the collateral damage was gone, was completely mitigated. People who had heart attacks and were given 2 milligrams of thymosin beta 4 within 6 hours of the ischemic event had no necrotic tissue in their heart. So if it can do that as a rescue mechanism to a major insult, what is it doing just in the day-to-day wear and tear of your body?
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, I know. But people overlook it. They, you know, it's one of those things that you don't feel. And so they feel like, well, you know, what is this really doing for me? Well, it's really doing something for you that if it works, you shouldn't notice anything for years to come. You know?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Great information.
But yeah, I love CJC1295 and I love GHRP2. And I think that CJC1295 should be, you should start out with 1 milligram every 4 days and slowly work your way up, because it can make you a little hypoglycemic if you're not careful.
Wow.
So, but anyway. All right, so look, why don't we take an early break and go right into the Blueprint Power Hour questions from listeners. How's that sound?
Awesome.
Our first question is going to come from Jim Longhi. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Blueprint Power Hour with Rob Regish here on Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Way Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5-pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Way Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients, grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Way Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RG Cell Super Stem Cell Support. RG Cell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RG Cell banner ad today.
Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants, just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
New from Rob Regish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. Rob Regish, first question comes from Jim Longhi. He says, I'm almost ready to take the plunge on bodyweight training and trying to decide where to start. I haven't bought dinosaur bodyweight training or convict conditioning yet because I'm still skeptical. Is there a way I can test drive it to see if it really is as demanding and worthwhile as traditional weight training?
Yeah, this is a great question, and it was a perfect entry point. And it's something known within bodyweight circles as the century workout, so-called because it demands 100 repetitions over four key exercises. So here's the workout. Give this a shot. It's going to leave no doubt in your mind as to the demanding nature and the results that you get from bodyweight training. Here it is, the century. To be performed in rapid succession, full bodyweight squats for 40 reps, push-ups, full push-ups for 30 reps, hanging knee raises for 20 reps, and then full pull-ups for 10 reps. That gives you a total of 100. they should be performed back-to-back with no rest in between sets, and they've been carefully arranged to work the entire body, and it's ideal for those times when you're pressed for time or you just want a taste of what bodyweight training can do. Don't be surprised if you can't get 100 reps your first time through, because although it looks easy, it is not. Over 3 to 5 sessions, though, your body's going to quickly adapt, and you're going to become not only bigger and stronger, but also much more well-conditioned. In fact, I'd recommend this as a perfect, let's say, 5-workout deload. And I get a lot of questions from guys about, just mystified about, how do I deload?
Right.
Well, you know, here's a perfect way to incorporate deloading into your workout regimen. So in terms of furthering your education on bodyweight training, I can't recommend Convict Conditioning and Brooks Kubik's Dinosaur Bodyweight Training strongly enough. Brooks's book in particular does a fine job showing you how to mix and match bodyweight training and the weights. And let's face it, most people don't want to give the weights up, and you can't blame them.
And you don't have to give them up for long either. I mean, but you should be rotating things.
Yeah, and he's got, I don't know, I want to see, he's probably got 100 workouts in there, you know, showing you how to integrate the two. But the biggest gem in that book by far is unlocking the power of your mind. As a matter of fact, he goes so far in the book as to say, stop reading now. This is, you know, the most important information, the most powerful information in this book. And it can't be emphasized enough, and it's true. My greatest gains in bodyweight training came while practicing Brooks's 7 Keys to Concentration protocol that he outlines, in not only in the book, but also, I believe he's got a CD, right?
Yeah, it's on the website. And actually, we're changing it. It's after tomorrow, it's not going to be a CD. It's going to be a downloadable file, because I'm having problems delivering things from here. Just put it that way. So.
And you know what? These concentration exercises take but 10 minutes a day, and they are worth their weight in gold. So, you know, do look into them. I can't, you know, if nothing else, it will teach you the lost art of stopping the world, the information overload world that we live in, and just for 10 seconds a day focusing, whether that be on a dot in the middle of a circle, on an object, on focusing on your breathing. It's just, it's a tremendous exercise that has carryover into the gym.
Okay, next question comes from Greg Geldard. He says, I'm having a difficult time with one-legged squat. The problem is in keeping my non-working leg elevated and performing them off the floor. It seems no matter how hard I try, I can't go down without tipping back, and if I do manage to get all the way down, I'm having trouble getting out of the hole. Any tips?
Yeah, you know, I came up against this very problem myself, and although I think Convict Conditioning does a brilliant job laying out 10 progressive steps on how to perform the master step, in this case, the one-legged squat. However, I just couldn't make the jump from close squats into the next progression, which was uneven squats, whereby you put your non-working leg on a basketball, squat down on the other leg, and then, you know, roll it coming back up. It's just, it mystified me. I didn't know what the hell to do. But I came up with the fix, and the fix is this. One-legged box squats. Here's how I do it. I actually think I found a use for the Smith machine. You want to stack 6 or 7 45-pound plates on top of each other. Now, place your working leg on the ground directly in front of the 45s. Hold your non-working leg up. Squat down and back as you would on a traditional box squat, but lean the torso forward a little bit as you do so. After you pause briefly at the bottom, explode back up. And once you're able to perform 10 good reps with each leg, it's simple. You just slide 145 out and keep doing that until such time as performing the full one-legged squat from the floor.
That makes sense.
One other tip that I learned is to, with the non-working leg, what I do is I put a mini band around the bar. I put it maybe 2 or 3 rungs down. Set the bar, loop a mini band around it, and put my non-working leg in there, right around the ankle. And the beauty of that is it keeps it'll teach your hip flexor to, you know, keep the non-working leg elevated. And if you do need some assistance getting out of the bottom, you learn put a little bit of pressure on that non-working leg to assist you out of the bottom. It's much, much better, I think, than, let's say, putting your hand on a basketball to get you out of the bottom. And let's face it, the box squat builds tremendous strength out of the hole. Why? It's static, overcome by dynamic work. And by that, I simply mean you have to overcome inertia. Once you've sat and paused on those plates or on the box, now you've got to overcome inertia, dead stop. And, man, when you finally perform the one-legged squat, you'll have no problem coming out of the bottom.
You know, and one-legged squats, according to Mike Boyle, are really what people need to be doing, especially if you're an athlete, football player, whatever. Mike Boyle says that you live life on one leg at a time. So doing two-legged squats, you know, back squats, front squats, bar squats, whatever you want to call them, while that may be great, it doesn't translate over to strengthening the hip girdle. And the only way to strengthen the hip girdle, he says, is to do your work one leg at a time. And I'll tell you something. There's a lot of truth to that. Just try leg pressing. Find the maximum amount of weight that you can press with one leg. Okay? I'm sorry, with both legs. You know where I'm going now. Then cut it in half and try to press that with one leg. You can't do it. Without the hip girdle strength involved, which the equation is evened out when you use both legs, you can't press that weight with one leg, that 50% of your maximum with two legs. Yeah. So there's a lot of truth to focusing on one leg work as well. Not exclusively, but as well. Okay. Richard Patterson says, I wonder what Rob Regish thinks about acetyl L-carnitine, Alcar. I used to hear a lot about it. And yes, there used to be a lot of discussion about it back in the days of Mind and Muscle and so on as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, acetyl L-carnitine, it's definitely a worthwhile supplement in my book. So a bit more now as to why and how best to go about it. You know, ALC does a number of things. It increases energy production in the mitochondria, which are the quote-unquote power plants of the cell, and it thereby boosts physical and mental energy. In English, it helps you burn more body fat, particularly when you're on a low-glycemic diet.
Well, and the reason for that, just to clarify something, is it also causes the mitochondria to prefer the triglyceride as a form of fuel, and it shuttles it into the cell. It actually has a similar effect as growth hormone.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the acetylated form of it is what you want instead of straight L-carnitine. A few reasons why. Fat metabolism, you can think of L-carnitine as a car and the fat as the passenger. Acetyl L-carnitine functions identically, but it's better at doing so given its much greater bioavailability. In terms of carbohydrate metabolism, L-carnitine is needed for the fat metabolism, but once the acetyl molecule is attached, carnitine can now help metabolize carbohydrates too. So those acetyl molecules are necessary to turn carbs into energy in the Krebs cycle, where the cells use oxygen for energy. It nourishes mitochondria. They prefer acetyl L-carnitine over L-carnitine because when given the choice, mitochondria accepts ALC first.
Right.
ALC, but not L-carnitine, helps keep mitochondria healthy by restoring the inner membrane, something called cardiolipin. It's susceptible to age-related damage, and when cardiolipin degrades, mitochondria are unable to perform as well. So here's the bottom line. A dose of 500 to 1,500 milligrams per day is a logical starting point, graduating up to 3 grams today. It gets even better when ALC is combined with alpha-lipoic acid, and I would suggest the R isomer as it's more bioavailable. The ball really got rolling there when a team of researchers in California fed elderly rats both nutrients, ALC and ALA, for a period of 7 weeks and then compared them with young rats. There was already evidence, right, that supplementation with ALC could reverse the age-related decline in mitochondrial activity and do a whole bunch of other good stuff. However, the downside to that was increased mitochondrial function. There's more oxidative damage. That's the downside to it,
right,
when you ramp up the mitochondria. So the researchers decided to add alpha-lipoic acid to the mix. They got the best of both worlds. It increased mitochondrial energy output and reduced mitochondrial damage. So the two together produce much better results than either one alone. Suffice it to say, at the end, after a month on the supplements, the researchers summed it up with basically a stunning conclusion. They likened the result of a group of 80-year-old human beings throwing away their canes and starting to act 35 years younger. My preferred product in this category is, I like to get them separately, although there are combination formulas. Beyond a Century has a nice product, which is acetyl L-carnitine, ALA, and Bioprin. You get 120 caps, shade under $19, 500 milligrams ALC, 200 milligrams ALA, 5 milligrams Bioprin or Piperine per capsule. I hope that helps, Richard. They really are fantastic. I would say more so from an anti-aging perspective, but there's an upside to performance enhancement as well.
Okay, let's go right to the next question. It comes from Scott Taverner across the pond. He says, hi, Carl, Lenore, and Rob Regish. What do you think of this? Also, what's the scoop on quinoa? Meet amaranth, the king of all grains, and Monsanto's sworn enemy, pigweed. A common variant of amaranth is the very plant which has become resistant superweed that is now somewhat immune to Monsanto's Roundup. It also happens to be actually more nutrient-rich than the beloved quinoa and super easy to grow. How do you think Monsanto would feel if all of a sudden everyone started farming plants that are storing, that are strong enough to naturally be Roundup ready, essentially making them the number one herbicide, making their number one herbicide useless?
Yeah. Well, I hope Monsanto gets what's coming to them. It's going to take some time, but posts like yours, Scott, help spread awareness, right? And ultimately, they're sitting inside a house of cards, and it's destined to fall one day. It can't happen soon enough, in my opinion. But both amaranth and quinoa are super grains, and I've spoken to these prior. Quinoa, in particular, has held my interest for some time. Not only is it one of the very few grains with a complete amino acid profile, it's chock full of ectosterone, or ectosteroids, as a complement to any ecti product or even as a standalone. I think it's a fantastic source of complex carbs, fiber, and protein. A great way to get both amaranth and quinoa and other super grains is, at least here in the States, is to visit your local Costco. They sell a product called Ancient Grains under their Kirkland in-house brand, and it contains the following: rolled oats, spelt, Corsairan wheat, quinoa, and amaranth. A three-quarter cup serving contains 250 calories, 39 grams of carbs, of which just 9 grams of sugar, 6 grams of fiber, 9 grams of fat, and all of only 1.5 grams of which are saturated. 5 grams of complete protein. At a little north of $7, this is a fantastic buy. It tastes so good you can eat it out of the bag. I used to give it to my son. here's how I do it. It's part of and this is how I make nutrition easy and portable. I mix one sleeve, and there are two in each box of Ancient Grains, 3 scoops of Ultra Peptide 2.0 Triple Chocolate, and enough water to thin it to my liking. That gives me an on-the-go option of the highest quality protein, complex carbs, and good fats, right, found in the Ultra Peptide 2.0. That's hard to beat. And when you take into consideration the cost of eating out, I think you'll find it an ideal solution. I hope that helps, Scott.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got lots more questions. You're listening to the Blueprint Power Hour. Later in the show, we're going to talk about the love drug. Is there a reason that we should be using pharmacological efforts to enhance relationships and love? I think we're there already, believe it or not. We're going to talk more about that later. Valentine's Day special. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a proprietary diet protein product with a 49% whey to 51% casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It also contains micro encapsulation essential fatty acids, so they're stable in the bottle to deliver a muscle-building punch. And it tastes great, too. Flavors like banana cream, chocolate peanut butter, cookies and cream, and many more. All their dairy protein is from right here in the USA. It's 100% made in America. Go to xfmuscle.com and get your Ultra Peptide 2.0 today. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today. Guys and gals, are you over 30 with a poor sex drive, gaining unwanted fat, or feel weak or tired? You may be suffering from hormone imbalances that can be treated affordably by physician-supervised hormone therapy. Why wait to feel like you again? Call Core Medical Group now to schedule your hormone check and save $100 when you mention Superhuman Radio. Call 617-869-7961. That's 617-869-7961. Physical and medical history required prior to therapy. Some restrictions apply. Call for details, 617-869-7961. Feel like you again. New from Rob Riggish, author of The Blueprint at SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today. Calling all men. The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RG Cell Super Stem Cell Support. RG Cell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RG Cell banner ad today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to the Blueprint Power Hour. Did you know that there are still a few samples left? And I really mean that, just a few. If you want to try Way Natural USA's whey protein powder from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States. There's chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry. You can go to superhumanradio.com, click the banner ad, get a free sample. And the coupon code to save 15% off plus free shipping, UPS shipping, inside the United States is SHR15NOW. SHR, the number one, the number five, and the word N-O-W, all as one complete string. Check it out. Grass-fed, unpasteurized, folks. Don't compare this to a lot of the other grass-fed whey protein out there that's pasteurized. This is not pasteurized. There is no heat pasteurization. All of the original fractions of whey are intact, and it took 15 years for them to get approval for this process by the FDA, USDA. Okay? So check it out. Try a free sample today. Okay. The next question comes from Mike Gellarge. He says, I got the flu vaccine this year for the first time. This may sound odd, but I had no libido for a long time afterwards. Know anything about this? P.S. I got the flu anyway.
Yeah. It's an interesting question, and there is, in fact, some research to support getting vaccinated lowers your testosterone level. Researchers at the University of California measured the test levels of 20 students before they were given the flu shot, and again 2 weeks afterwards. They did the same with a control group who received no vaccination. They concluded with the following statement. The present results suggest that pathogen exposure can cause a decline in testosterone, presumably as a means of prioritizing energy investment away from mating effort and autoimmune responses. In English, if your immune system has to learn a new trick, your test levels go down. And this is precisely what happens when you get vaccinated against a pathogen. There are so many other ways to boost your immune system, it's worth discussing. Consider the following, then, in lieu of getting vaccinated for the flu. Number one on the short list is obviously, you know, getting sleep, quality sleep, and not overtraining. It is well established that overtraining wears down your immune system, and lack of sleep just compounds the problem. I'm going to use death as the ultimate arbiter. Researchers at the University of Pittsburgh found the better the quality of your sleep, the longer you'll live. Enough said. Second on the list, and this is personally what I do, I use N-acetylcysteine, which we've discussed on the show before, vitamin C and E, along with L-theanine. Those are my top picks for an immune boost. You don't hear much about theanine and immunity, but it's a fantastic immune booster. Here's why. Theanine stimulates a specific category of immune cells, the gamma delta T lymphocytes, to manufacture something called gamma interferon in the body. Interferon is what the body makes if it's attacked by pathogens. It's naturally present in green tea, that being theanine. So if you're already using a green tea product for fat loss, cancer fighting, etc., you can add immunity to that list. So here's how I personally go about it. Every morning, I slam a shot of 1,500 milligrams of N-acetylcysteine along with some green tea extract and caffeine. The literature supports a dose of green tea standardized for 300 milligrams of EGCG, epigallocatechin gallate, along with 200 milligrams of caffeine. I then hit the gym, and upon eating my post-workout meal, I take my 500 milligrams of vitamin C, 200 IU of natural vitamin E, mixed tocopherols, and then I then take a second dose of C and E with my evening meal prior to sleep. If you add 100 milligrams of the R isomer of alpha-lipoic acid to that duo, C and E, it regenerates both in your body and brings other benefits as well. So I hope that helps, Mike. I'm not a fan of the flu vaccine. I think there are much better ways to go about it.
Okay. The next question comes from Gareth Denyer. I'd like to hear more about Ultrapeptide 2.0. It seems you're pretty high on it lately, and I'd like to understand why. Thanks again. I'll tell you why, first of all. If nothing else, the stuff tastes great. I got to tell you something. I took a shot of GHRP2 before training this morning, and another one after training, 250 micrograms each time. These are pretty high doses. I was famished. If anyone would have seen me driving to the studio with a jug of Ultrapeptide 2.0 in lemon cream pie flavor on my lap, trying to get the plastic off of the lid so that I could unscrew it, and I was taking the scoop and just pouring it in my mouth and then washing it down with a mouthful of water because I was so friggin' hungry. And I thought to myself, I would have never thought a protein powder in lemon cream pie would taste this good. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that flavor is fantastic. They all are. The cinnamon roll is the one I can't get enough of.
I use that in my oatmeal. I put a scoop of that in my oatmeal in the morning and use that as the flavor for my oatmeal.
Oh, God. It's fantastic. I was first introduced to Ultrapeptide 2.0 3 years ago by Jordan Franz, who was a friend of the show. And Jordan at the time was a rep for Extreme Formulations, so he sent me a jug of their cinnamon roll to test drive. And while I was absolutely floored by the taste and the quality and value, it stood out so much so that I did a review on bodybuilding.com, and you can still find that on their board. Now, it's worth pointing out, this was 3 years before Extreme Formulations became a sponsor here. So I'm no Johnny-come-lately endorsing this stuff. Here is word for word what I had to say then from my May 9th 2013 2010 review. The same holds true today, every word of it. The cinnamon roll, it just tastes fantastic. I know everybody says that, but you know it's true. One taste of this stuff, or even a whiff for that matter, will leave no doubt. 2 pounds for a shade over $30 for this quality protein is outstanding. When I originally wrote the blueprint, I was very high, and still am, on cold and or low temperature processed proteins. Here's why. We've known for 30 years via the radioisotope studies that 98% of the molecules in your body are completely replaced each year from dietary protein. And that was first published in Science, the journal Science, 1980, Frontiers on the Biological Sciences. Now think about this for a moment. You can make big mistakes with carbs and fats and correct them rather quickly. Not so with proteins, as it builds right into your structure. Linus Pauling said it on his deathbed, host cell resistance is the key. And a big player here is glutathione, which is your body's most prolific endogenous antioxidant. In fact, so reliable is glutathione that the medical community uses it as a biomarker for aging. And one of the things that builds it best is undenatured, cold-processed whey. It's worth pointing out, when you heat a protein, any protein, it undergoes a process called denaturing. It cross-links the protein molecules and it compromises many of its functional properties, in particular wheys and other proteins. Now, I'm not saying it's completely useless, but any protein representing all the benefits of a cold-processed whey or micellar casein that uses high levels of heat is not being forthright. Ultrapeptide is one of the very few that's cold processed and undenatured that retains all of those benefits. Now, it's also worth taking a look at the macronutrient ratio of ultrapeptide, because between the healthy fats and the smidgen of carbs, you're getting 101 calories from those macros versus 72 for the protein. Why is that important? Because those are going to be, the fats in particular, are going to be burned for energy, allowing the protein and amino acids to be spared for incorporation into muscle tissue. Now, granted, your total daily energy intake needs to be in line, but ultrapeptide goes a long way to ensure a compliance with that. And a lot of the old-timers would just shake their heads after seeing younger guys consume protein-only drinks. It was completely foreign to them as to why someone would want to do that. And I agree wholeheartedly, ultrapeptide 2.0 gets you there even when you mix it in water. They round it out with a very solid ratio, nearly 3-to-1 of potassium to sodium, a dash of creatine, and some other goodies in there. The product is worth every penny, and as an added bonus, it really does taste incredible. Solid work, extreme formulations. I said it then, and I'll say it again. You got a big fan here, and I know a lot of my Blueprint customers value the product as well. So
great. All right, look, perfect timing. You're the consummate professional. We're going to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, Rob has an amazing Blueprint tip of the day, a really good one, and it's timely for all of us, including me. I've shared with people in the audience that I'm at my worst conditioning ever, my lowest strength level ever, and I'm fighting back from the bottom up. And I've been to the gym this week, and I got to tell you something. It's very humbling when you've acquired a certain expectation of strength and performance in yourself, and all of a sudden you find yourself relegated to training like a lot of the newbies. And granted, I'm training a lot heavier than probably most of the newbies, but it's taking a lot of work. And Rob Reckers is going to deliver something profound. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Blueprint Power Hour.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Guys and gals, are you over 30 with a poor sex drive, gaining unwanted fat, or feel weak or tired? You may be suffering from hormone imbalances that can be treated affordably by physician-supervised hormone therapy. Why wait to feel like you again? Call Core Medical Group now to schedule your hormone check and save $100 when you mention Superhuman Radio. Call 617-869-7961. That's 617-869-7961. Physical and medical history required prior to therapy. Some restrictions apply. Call for details, 617-869-7961. Feel like you again.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RG Cell Super Stem Cell Support. RG Cell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting SuperHumanRadio.com and clicking the RG Cell banner ad today.
Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Whey Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5 pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Whey Natural USA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Whey Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers.
New from Rob Riggish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introduction. Issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Leave.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Now this one's dedicated to the girl with the angel face and the devil heart. They don't surround them off the track and they must be new top players come feel in the case. Step up my own. Hear this.
I go this night to learn her.
Welcome back.
Her beauty is like a bunch of rose. If I ever tell you about Maxine.
Later in the show, we will be joined by Dr. Brian Earp when we talk about a Valentine's Day special. Love drugs, neuroenhancement of love and relationships. Is it possible? I think so. But right now we're going to talk about the blueprint tip of the day, finding your fight. Take it away, Robert.
Yeah. Thanks, man. The common denominator that brings us together every week is physical culture. Now that means different things to everybody listening, but it's the tie that binds. At some point in this journey, though, you need to answer this question. What are you fighting for? And until you find the answer to that, all the tips I drop, be they training, diet, or supplement related, are almost irrelevant. Once you can answer that question, though, you'll have found the real secret to success in this business. And for many, it'll run far deeper than that. Next time you're in the supermarket, mall, or anywhere out in public, take a look around. What you'll find is a sorry lot of people, most often going through life on autopilot with an entitlement mentality. These people aren't living, they're existing. The biggest reason why? They haven't found a purpose, something to fight for. Without that, life becomes a game of t-shirts, blue jeans, and car payments, complete with 2.6 kids and a house in the suburbs, if you're lucky. It gets worse. The longer these people find themselves adrift, the more they're conditioned to think that's just how it is. I saw this growing up in the 80s. My generation had no war to fight, no great recession to endure, and no call to action. Enter 9/11. On 9/11, this country got a wake-up call. There was a fight, and they took it right to our doorstep. You saw the absolute best in America then, because there was something to fight for, which was our country, our freedom, and our way of life. And more importantly, it was time for real men to make a comeback. Because after decades of being beaten down and told all things testosterone were bad, all of a sudden, real men were in demand. In plain English, it was time to go to war, and the nation needed real men. This isn't meant to disparage any other group, because plenty of them answered the call too. But let's face facts. When it came time to start taking names and kicking ass, guys wearing the skinny jeans didn't cut it. The end game was getting bin Laden. It took almost a decade, but we got our man. And when it finally came time to take care of business, you didn't see a bunch of slackers getting the green light to finish the job. SEAL Team 6 got that call. They're a bunch of badasses, if there ever was one. These men found their fight a long time ago. Most were in their mid to late 30s, some even older. I don't claim to know these guys, but I bet my last dollar that all approached their physical training as if it were life and death for decades. They got that way because they never lost their warrior spirit, their dedication to their craft, or their willingness to push things to the limit. And predictably, they walked out of a crashed helicopter like it was just another day and took care of business. They didn't hesitate. They didn't complain about things not going to plan. They just got it done. Which brings us to how to find your fight. Here's the secret. Go through hard times. For some of you, it's going to be, you know, it's about being picked on as a kid. Say, when you study these people, you notice one common denominator. If the world wasn't about to give them respect, they built themselves up and took it. The toughest man I've ever met is my grandfather. He's 93 years old, and he's still living on his own. He's taking care of my grandmother with dementia. I'll tell you how he got this way. He grew up during the Great Depression. No shoes, had to drop out of school in the sixth grade, floated around the country, sleeping on park benches and taking odd jobs just to survive. Then World War II happened, and he enlisted in the Navy. After the war, he started a family, put himself and his kids through school, ultimately earning a college education. He used to take me to the department store and buy socks on special for a buck. He still has them, along with jars of Vaseline from two guys that went out of business in the 80s. His idea of fine dining to this day is Burger King with a coupon. I've seen him watch all of his siblings die. He's gone through some awful things in his life, but he remained and still is a rock of a man. The message is this. He went through hard times to get that way. You probably will too. Which brings us to Lyle Alzado. You'd be hard-pressed to find a bigger badass than this guy. Easily one of the best defensive players in the NFL. His father was an alcoholic, married to his mother, but had a girlfriend on the other side of town. Alzado was a skinny kid who feared him, and that fear never left him. Later in life, he chased his father down in a car and confronted him, ultimately breaking out in a cold sweat when his father called his bluff, and his father, you know, he decided to fight him. Alzado walked away a shaken man. When he began college, he was a skinny 190-pound kid, and he didn't want to be that scrawny little kid anymore. Here's what he did. He started off taking yeast pills so he could eat more. He started lifting, and slowly but surely got a lot bigger and stronger. Many probably recall his glory years in Denver playing for the Broncos, and after he was released, they told him his best years were behind him. And when everybody thought he was washed up, he had something left to prove. He could still go. The Raiders gave him a shot, and the rest is history. Nobody messed with Alzado. He was legendary for destroying football players on the field, other people off the field, hunting women, and taking care of business. He still had something to prove to the old man, too, the guy who told him he'd never amount to anything. and damned if he didn't do it grand fashion. You can say what you want about the way he went out, but one thing is beyond dispute. The pillars of Alzado's psyche shaped and molded a genuine monster. He found his fight and won it in convincing fashion. We're all searching for the same thing here, a sense of purpose. People just go about finding it in different ways. We've been lucky enough to find it in the Iron Game, and personally speaking, I can't find it anywhere else. How will you know if you found it? The answer is easy. There's going to be no more New Year's resolutions or getting back on track. There's going to be no more six-week transformation programs, exercise gadgets you order off TV. All that's going to remain is taking care of business day in and day out. Days turn into weeks, weeks into months, and months into years. You're going to stop training for chicks and instead train for personal satisfaction. Taking care of business won't be an option. It'll be a way of life. You won't find excuses. You'll find a way. Injury, illnesses, personal setbacks, none of that is going to matter. Because you'll realize overcoming them is what makes you different than everybody else. In short, this will no longer be a hobby anymore. It'll be your way of life. The road is not going to be easy. There's always going to be setbacks. There are going to be days when you're going to want to quit. But you know what you're fighting for. When you know, you will find a way to persevere. Here's the final word and the bottom line. You need to save nothing for the swim back. There's a scene in the movie Gattaca, G-A-T-T-A-C-A, that listeners absolutely must see. It's called the swim scene. In it, Vincent and his brother, Anton, Anton is genetically and physically superior to Vincent, just born that way. So growing up, they always competed with each other in the ocean to see who could swim the furthest out from shore. So with his God-given talent, Anton always won. Never had to work at it. He had the gifts. As Vincent matured, though, he develops Jordan Frand's overcome-like qualities, which is to say he had a warrior spirit and a mentality that nobody is born with. Instead, it's acquired through suffering and perseverance. So one day, as adults, they repeat the swim contest, and this time, Vincent beats Anton, who's absolutely dumbfounded, and asks Vincent how he did it. Vince replied, "I won because I never saved anything for the swim back."
Hmm.
You and only you are responsible for finding your fight, overcoming the obstacles, and success or failure lies in your hands. See this for the beautiful thing that it is. No employer can lay you off. No spouse or girlfriend can leave you. You and you alone control your destiny. You need only decide to bleed, sweat, and sacrifice to overcome. Make up your mind today to save nothing for the swim back.
Very good. I'm standing and saluting right now.
I'm telling you, man, it's more powerful than any supplement, tip, training tip I could give you. You find your fight, you take care of business day in and day out, and this becomes your life.
Yeah. No.
And it's a beautiful thing.
It's a great thing, but you have to make that connection with what you're fighting for, whatever that is. You have to make that connection. It's a great observation, great discussion. Rob Regish, as usually, thank you for bringing it today to the Blueprint Power Hour, man.
You got it, brother. Thanks for having me.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to change the discussion to something specifically for Valentine's Day. Love drugs, neural enhancement of love and relationships with Dr. Brian Earp. We'll be right back right after this break.
Are you ready?
Monkey, that funky monkey. Fast monkey, chunky, that funky
Have you ever been let down by so-called nitric oxide muscle pump products before? Well, prepare to be shocked. Vengeance is like nothing you've ever tried before. Vengeance leverages several different scientifically proven technologies to deliver what some users say are painfully explosive pumps. If you are satisfied with nitric oxide products that make you wonder if they're working, move on. But if you want a muscle pump that you'll not only feel, but others will see, train with a vengeance. Go to XFMuscle.com today and get vengeance.
Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Way Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5-pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Way Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients, grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Way Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC-2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC-2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC-2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. What if we could enhance the bond, the connection between people? What if we could enhance the feelings of love? What if you could take a drug and not want to get divorced? Or what if you could take a drug and fall in love with somebody that you really were never supposed to fall in love with? These are all ethical questions that must be discussed now, because there is evidence that these types of drugs can be and may be in our future. And we're talking with Brian Earp about a paper published by himself and his colleagues called Natural Selection, Childbearing, and the Ethics of Marriage and Parenthetically Divorce, Building a Case for the Neuroenhancement of Human Relationships. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, it's and this is actually something that I've spoken about indirectly in the past. I started, I read Dr. Suzanne Brizendine's book, The Female Brain, many, many years ago. Are you familiar with it?
Oh, I've heard the title, but I haven't read it.
Okay. And she makes an argument in one portion of her book for the rate of divorce and citing hormonal cessation and women's feeling of life just not having a lot of promise, a lot of hope, and having this general sense of unhappiness, and then feeling that divorce is the answer, simultaneously when a hormone called oxytocin, which is the hormone of bonding and love, as she points out, seems to disappear. So it makes it easy for women to then break their relationships with their children and their spouse and move on. And that's when I started thinking about this. Gee, you know, if this is true, and this coincided with a survey that was done by AARP around the same time, looking at divorce in couples that have been married for longer periods of time, couples 40 years old and above, citing that some, and I'm going from memory, 60 or 70% of divorces in this group, the woman was the one wanting the divorce and usually citing, not being happy with the relationship any longer as one of the key factors in moving on. And I thought, you know, what if really all this divorce that's going on today is a result of shifts in brain chemistry and nothing more than that? And if so, then that means things like hormone replacement therapies or even drugs, pharmacological intervention, could shift it. Is that what you guys kind of looked at overall in this study?
Yeah, I think part of what's going on in the general discussion is that people are we're sort of natural born dualists. We think of ourselves as having bodies and souls, and we tend to think of love as something that exists in the soul realm. You know, we have this sort of magical, poetic feeling that we have with someone when we're young, and for some reason or other, over time, that sort of passion seems to fade, and we forget that. You know, what we talk about as in all these poetic and philosophical terms is based on what's going on in our bodies. And of course, there's many levels of analysis of what goes on in a relationship and in a marriage or a divorce. So it's never going to be the complete picture to point to one thing to say it's this part of the brain or it's that hormone or whatever it is. But it's equally problematic to disregard what's going on in the brain and to disregard what we know about what we're like as animals that bond, because we've got a lot of information about other animal species that have bonding patterns. We can go into their brains in great detail and analyze the systems and the hormones involved. So there's been a ton of research on sort of adult bonding, what we would think of as romantic bonding, in a species of animal called voles, which are found in the prairie in the U.S., and among mammals, there's not a lot of monogamy. There's not a lot of adult pair bonding. Usually you have these sort of cold, cruel reproductive drives, and the male will impregnate about as many females as he can find and then go off and do more of the same. And very often the female, in most species in nature, does most of the child care. You get some exceptions for that when you have very fragile offspring. And humans are in this category. We have pretty fragile offspring because we have such big brains, and that means that we have to be born rather immature because if we have these huge heads, we can't get through the birth canal, so we have to be born rather immature, and so we have these fragile babies that have to be culturized and raised, and so it helps to have two parents. So there's this idea that the maternal infant bond, which is ancient and exists in, you know, reptiles and all sorts of species going back thousands and thousands of years, that maternal infant bond in humans over time would have been sort of accepted or adjusted. You know, evolution likes to work on existing systems and kind of retool them for new purposes as new selection pressures arise. The idea is that the sort of adult romantic bond would have sort of emerged out of existing structures on the maternal infant bond. And there's quite a lot of knowledge about the maternal infant bond in a range of species. And yes, oxytocin is heavily involved in maintaining and forming that bond. Oxytocin is produced and released by the hypothalamus, and it has sort of receptors in different parts of the brain and the spinal cord and actually all throughout the body. It works as kind of a hormone in the body and as a neurotransmitter in the brain. And it interacts with the reward system. It interacts with other hormones and neurotransmitters. Interacts with dopamine and serotonin and these sorts of things. So we're starting to learn more and more about that as it applies to humans. We're starting to take this information we have about how these chemical systems work in voles, and you can manipulate them quite directly. You can put an oxytocin blocker in the nucleus accumbens of a vole brain, and it won't form a pair bond.
Right.
Normally it will mate, and it will form this attachment, and it will guard its mate, and it will protect their children, and they'll stay together, and they'll send out intruders, and they'll have all these sort of relationship protective cuddling behaviors, and that's why we think of voles as such cute little creatures, because they're one of these rare examples of sort of biparental care and cute cuddly monogamy in nature, at least to a degree. But we can manipulate those like we're turning a knob by interfering with the chemicals that are underwriting these processes in these animals. And it's just caused a lot of researchers recently to think, well, listen, if we can turn the knobs of bonding on voles with such specificity and such control, and if the bonding system is likely to be largely conserved in mammals, and there's a number of arguments to that effect, well, then we've probably got a lot of this machinery working in our own brains as well. And we know that our brains are susceptible to being altered by pharmacological intervention. I mean, we do this with our mood, with antidepressant medication. That's a pretty high-level, complex part of human experience.
Right.
Whether we have a, you know, our mood is operating one way or another, and we can turn the knobs on that. Again, not perfectly. There are some circumstances where it doesn't work. There are side effects. There's a lot of messiness to this. But it's sort of getting this general principle. The more we understand what's going on in our brain when we fall in love with someone, or we feel in lust, or we form an attachment, or we don't, or that attachment breaks down over time, the more we will have the power anyway to intervene in those systems. And the question is just, should we? Under what circumstances would it ever make sense? And it's a sort of broad scope of argument that we've tried to make about giving the suggestion that perhaps it might make sense to intervene in these human brain systems in what we talk about in common terms as love and lust and attachment. An argument for that might just be that our brains evolved to handle the reproductive pressures of the African savanna thousands of years ago.
Right.
And we, through technology, have created a world for ourselves that's very different from the world in which we evolved. And so we're not exactly well adapted, because we've shaped the world much faster than natural selection can keep up with it. So, for example, we outlive our ancestors by quite a long time. We also have a set of values that our ancestors may or may not have had that we consciously pursue. So we have this idea that we should be married to each other for our whole lives, come hell or high water, and well after the children have left the home. But if these adult pair bonding systems evolved to keep us focused having parental care for children, then natural selection doesn't care what happens after the children can
right.
take care of themselves. It has no interest in a lifelong bond with this person with whom you're not even reproducing anymore.
Right.
The whole goal of natural selection is reproduce, reproduce, reproduce. And we have values that are different from that. We think, well, even if we're not reproducing, we should stay together because we love each other.
Right.
And our notion of marriage
and,
has come
and see,
out of
and, economics. And you can't discuss these things without having, unfortunately, religion play a role in some of these mores that we and edicts that we follow. The notion of when you look back in time, getting divorced was virtually impossible. I was watching a show that occurred in the Victorian era, and there was a guy who married a woman. She went insane. She was committed to an asylum, and he could not divorce her because the law did not allow for divorcing someone who, just because they had been institutionalized and his religion stood in the way of it. And a lot of these issues that we're talking about right now really have religious undertones.
Yeah, religion's a big part of it, but it's also politics and simple economics. I mean, the institution of marriage for a long time had very little to do with love. That's sort of a recent consideration where you'd get married to someone because
yes.
you were in love with them.
Yes.
That's maybe 200 years old. Before that, you would get married to someone because of economic considerations,
right.
because of a political alliance, because that was the way that the resources could be contractually switched from one family line to another. It was all these sorts of things. And you're right, you couldn't get a divorce. So whatever was going on in your brain, whether you were happy or not, was irrelevant.
Right.
And that marriage was going to to stay together, or it was going to change for these economic or political considerations to get better kin relations or something like that. But it wouldn't have been because you did or didn't love the person.
Prior to civilization, we made, there is some evidence that we mated specifically. I remember we did a show once about in the kiss. So there are things that a woman can pick up, the female species can pick up about the person that they're kissing, that they could contribute to better offspring because they could contribute things that the woman does not have. And back in the day, before we started applying a lot of thought to things and we were more like animals, we selected mates based on things that would enable us to produce stronger, more resilient offspring.
Oh, sure. So there's still that implicit logic running today. We still got a lot of those systems, but they get clouded and tripped up by a lot of other cultural considerations that come in. But so we have chemical signals that we read that give a sense of the immune system compatibility of our partner. There's some evidence that actually the current use of birth control interferes with some of this chemical signal processing. So what happens is you might form a relationship with someone while you're on the pill, and then for some reason you go off it later because maybe you're trying to conceive with this partner, and finally your chemical signals kick in and you can sort of, you know, unconsciously smell the suitedness of this mate for you. And, obviously you see other animals are using sniffing and smelling. That's how they suss out their mates. We have these same systems. They're not quite as powerful as they are in, say, dogs, but we do have a chemical processing factory right behind our nose, and we use it to process social signals. We use it to read off information about the compatibility of the partner for reproductive health and the likelihood that our offspring will be strong and survive, as you say. There's lots of cues that we pay attention to. So cues for youth, cues for fertility, cues for genetic health. You know, symmetry is an important predictor of what people find attractive, because symmetry correlates with having a lack of disease and these sorts of things. So evolutionary psychologists have been very interested in seeing, you know, what does evolutionary theory predict we should care about in a partner? We should care about things like whether, you know, if I have a female partner who's younger, that's to my reproductive advantage because I have more years in which I can, you know, reproduce with that partner. So you have a universal interest in younger women among men, and these sorts of descriptions are trotted out to try to explain some of the patterns of contemporary mating behavior among humans.
You know what? I'm being waved at here. We've gone really long on this segment. Let's do this.
Sure.
Hold your thought. When we come back, I want to pick up the discussion. I want to talk a little bit about, if we can, what interventions there are currently or that are on the horizon that could enhance love and relationships. And then we can talk about the ethics of it, if we will. We're talking right now with Brian Earp. We're talking about love drugs, neuroenhancement of love and relationships, appropriately on the heels of Valentine's Day. What if you could give a girl a pill and she says, yes, I want to go out with you on Valentine's Day, because all of a sudden I just realized I love you. Oh, God, what a dangerous world this would be. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometime pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the product you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Brian Earp. Okay, so Brian, obviously, we already know about drugs like oxytocin. Many of the more progressive hormone replacement therapy physicians are prescribing oxytocin now in conjunction with progesterone, testosterone, and estrogen for women as they go through menopause, and a lot of these women are seeing the benefits. They continue to have libidos. They have that loving feeling. They don't have that general sense of something is wrong with life. We're already doing it now. What are we talking about in the paper? Are we talking about interventions at a younger age, taking two people who technically, I don't know, it's not the right wording, that shouldn't be together, and making them fall in love? Or are we talking about just enhancing existing relationships?
Yeah, well, there's sort of two questions there. One's what kind of drugs are we talking about? And the second is what are the ethical and practical ways in which we think that those could be administered? And maybe start with the ethical one first, which is we're talking about administering these drugs potentially to people who are in a well-suited relationship. I think the worst idea would be to, say, have a violent or abusive marriage and put a chemical Band-Aid on it, you know, trap right. people into feeling that they have this great attachment to someone that they really shouldn't be with. And, in fact, in actual abusive marriages, what you find is that sometimes what happens is the abused partner, although it's not always necessarily a single direction road. I mean, abuse can go both ways, but what you sometimes find is that the people are literally addicted to each other.
Right.
That the same parts of the brain that are responding to a hit of cocaine are getting that same sort of rush from social cues, and you get this right. high of attachment, this high of connection, and you feel like you just can't break away from the partner, you can't quit the person. And yet, it's a very damaging relationship.
And it's worst case, it's Stockholm syndrome.
Exactly. There's
And most abusive relationships evolve over time, and the abuser and the abusee become entwined in a dance of courtship, capture, abuse, separation, courtship, capture, abuse, separation. And what happens is over time, these cycles become shorter and shorter. So maybe the abuser abused 3 times a year, then it becomes 7 times, then it becomes monthly, and so on and so forth. And you're right. The chemical response in the brain becomes one of a very similar to addiction. We see the anticipation of some of these cycles bring on the same sensation as when a drug addict is thinking about going and copping. You know, well, I'm going to go get my drugs. I'm so psyched. It's like they already start getting high.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. So because we know that we have these, I mean, obviously, of all the sort of human emotions that we value, love can be the most sort of irrational. It can be the most dangerous. And in fact, I'm working on a paper also with my colleagues, Anders Sandberg and Julian Savulescu at Oxford. We're working on a paper now on the potential of developing sort of love vaccinations or anti-love drugs, which you might actually take in such a situation if you're in an abusive relationship where you have this knowledge. You say, I know this relationship is bad for me. I know I shouldn't be with this person, but I cannot bring myself to tear myself away from this person because I'm just so attached. I'm so addicted. And if you're in that sort of situation, there might be an argument there for actually trying to take an extreme measure of intervening directly in that system that's keeping you attached to the person.
Well, but what happens when that occurs, right? And you start using this protocol, and it's a very, very good reason to use the protocol. But then you have, because of the way urban sprawl is very similar to pharmacological use sprawl, you know, you have, we'll use it for this, we'll try it for that. So now you have a girl who comes in, she just broke up with her boyfriend of 5 years, she can't get out of bed, she's lost her job, she's spiraling out of control, and somebody says, well, let's give her that drug that makes her fall out of love with him, and so she can move on faster.
Yeah, you know, this is the same debate that you have with any pharmacological substance. So we could talk about depression. Some people would say, well, listen, you know, depression is telling you that there's something wrong with your life. So rather than taking a drug, you should try to figure out what's wrong. Maybe you have a bad job, or you aren't getting enough exercise, or you're in a relationship you shouldn't be in. And by taking the drug, you're not learning from the real life circumstances. You know, maybe the reason why she's so depressed because she broke up with this person is because her system needs time to think about what was going on in that relationship.
This is my argument against the antidepressants, quite frankly, because we're very selective in which emotions are useful and which aren't. So in other words, you wouldn't go into a movie house where a guy is watching a comedy and he's laughing uncontrollably and say, you know, you're laughing a little too hard, you need to take this drug that will level you out and not make you think these things are so funny. But yet if you're sad, we'll take a drug.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, sadness has a role in human existence. There's no reason to think we shouldn't be sad. I mean, whether we're talking just pure adaptive evolved reasons or what are values, I think there's philosophical value to feeling sad. I'm sad a lot, and I understand the value of it. But I think the thing about making these arguments is it's hard to apply them across the board. There are certainly some cases in which taking an antidepressant is the difference between a person's being able to live life with some sort of functionality and some sort of well-being or not. Some people have, whether it's because their brain chemistry is so disturbed that without correcting it, in a sense, they can't meet the more normal functions of life. Another thing is, sometimes depression disables a person from actually engaging authentically with the world. If you're so depressed that you can't get out of bed in the morning and you can't take part in the relationships and activities that give your life authentic meaning because you simply don't have the motivation to do it, sometimes you need an initial kick. Now, whether people are applying this argument far too widely, whether once we have this technology it's just being handed out like candy and now we're trying to medicate everyone, that's true. I think there is a problem with that. There's same sort of arguments come up with, you know, treating ADD. That used to be called just having, you know, energy and being a, you know, excited,
spirited,
normal person.
Spirited,
now
spirited.
Like, oh, we've got to medicate you into a dull kind of malaise so that we can send you through school and you won't cause too many disruptions. There's a huge debate going on about, given a certain pharmacological intervention, A, under what conditions should you apply it, and B, what do you do about the fact that once you've got it on hand, people are going to want to over-apply it.
And they have to do that, Brian, because pharmaceutical companies will not invest the money needed to invest to get a drug approved and then say, well, it's just going to be for this small select group of people. They have stockholders to answer to that they have to generate revenue for. So they're always looking for repurposing their drugs. That's the problem. Once you let that cat out of the bag, it's on its own.
Yeah. So for any of these questions, you've got to balance the risks against the costs. And it's not clear to me that there's always an obvious answer. I think there are major systemic problems with the pharmaceutical industry and with the incentives there and who gets paid for what and what motivations they have to develop what drug and then how that drug gets used or misused. I think there are just widespread problems. And there's been some interesting recent critiques about even just the way that these drug trials are run. The suggestion is that they're run in such a way that first of all, they're paid for by the pharmaceutical companies. They're run in such a way that the statistics can be sort of juiced to show an effect where there may not be one. Side effects are discounted. I mean, there's all sorts of problems. And this is true of any drug-based treatment. So the question is, should we just develop zero drug-based treatments because once they exist, they might be misused or because the incentive structure is wrong? Or should we try to develop them for, you know, recognizing that there are certain people whose well-being could be massively enhanced by well-applied pharmacological interventions? And then just double down on our efforts to deal with the regulatory structure, to deal with the broader social consequences. And I think it's got to be something more like that because, there, reform is possible. I don't think it has to be all or none. Either we all, accept that there's just no way to intervene in our brains that has anything to do with pharmacology because there's too many bad side effects, or we've all got to take drugs all the time. I think there's got to be a middle ground on it. But it's a big debate, and it's a debate that has to do with any pharmacological intervention, not love drugs or anti-love drugs. That's a sub point in a larger argument that carries the same sort of structure, I think.
Who knew the song by Roxy Music from back in the 80s would actually come to fruition? Love is the drug, and love is a drug in and of itself. We've kind of talked more about the philosophical side of this, and I said we were going to talk about the actual pharmacological interventions that may be on the horizon. Right. Can we touch on that before we have a couple minutes before we go into the break? Are there actually some pharmacological interventions that have already been identified, maybe from repurposing things like oxytocin and stuff like that?
Well, yeah, there's been a little bit of research on that. Oxytocin is now ballooning into a huge area of research across many different disciplines, really in the last couple of years. And so they're starting to do a better job at getting theories about why it works and what it does and under what circumstances, and it may be different for different people at different doses. I mean, these details are being figured out. You have the sort of news media stereotype of oxytocin as just this love chemical, and you spray it up your nose and you fall in love. That's not how it works.
And actually, the injectable is really the one that works, and not everybody. And as you point out, dosing is very individual. A dose that works for one person actually elicits nausea and cramping in another person. So
yeah, the research has been done on this sort of directly, literally as a sort of relationship drug. It's been done by Beata Ditzen at the University of Zurich, I believe, and her colleagues. And she took romantic couples who had given her a list of arguments that they sometimes engage in, and she said, well, we're going to come into the lab and we're going to have one of these arguments. We're going to talk about finances or whatever it is. It's the thing that's tripping them up. And she had an oxytocin nasal spray, and the reason why they do the nasal spray for these types of studies is because that's the only way to get it directly into the brain. The injection gets it into the bloodstream, and there's a blood-brain barrier. And so what happens is it circulates through the bloodstream, but it doesn't really get into the brain when you do an injection in any other part of the body. So they're having difficulty figuring out how to deliver this to specific targets in the brain as a neurotransmitter. Because we talked about how oxytocin is a hormone and a neurotransmitter, and it just does vastly different things depending on what it's working on. I mean, oxytocin has to do with cervical dilation and uterine
lactation,
lactation.
Lactation, right.
These sorts of things. And that's when it's working as a hormone, and that's when it's operating through the bloodstream and has different targets. When you want it to do a sort of social bonding and attachment, these sorts of things, it's working on the brain as a neurotransmitter. And so you've got to get it into the brain, and they don't have a lot of good ways to do that apart from just injecting it into the brain, which you can do with voles, but you can't do with humans. So they're using a nasal spray, and the problem is it's sort of diffuse. It just kind of washes into the brain. They're not getting it targeted to some specific neuroreceptor. And there's work on doing that. You know, there's a great interest in figuring out how to deliver drugs to specific parts of the brain with specific timing, but that research is very nascent. So right now they've got this kind of clumsy method. They spray it right up people's noses, and she did this before they went into and had this argument, and she had half the group obviously take oxytocin, and the other group sprayed some sort of placebo up their nose, and nobody can tell the difference. Nobody knows what they got until after the results came in. So it was a controlled double-blind placebo study, which is sort of the gold standard for these. And she found some interesting findings that sort of positive communication behaviors over negative communication behaviors were enhanced by oxytocin. This ratio of positive to negative communication behaviors has been shown by some other researchers, notably John Gottman, to predict long-term relationship health. Cortisol levels dropped more rapidly. That's a sort of stress hormone, dropped more rapidly after the argument. So she's tried this in a lab setting. There's a researcher in Australia named Adam Guastella, who is also working on, he works on oxytocin as a potential treatment for autism and these sorts of things, but he's also interested in the potential application for romantic couples. So this research is definitely happening, and there is some preliminary evidence that oxytocin administration for some couples may be a useful adjunctive treatment in, say, marriage counseling or couples therapy. But there's, of course, a lot of other work coming in on oxytocin recently where people are pointing out that it can sometimes have potentially negative effects for some people. So if I have an anxious attachment style toward my mother and you give me a shot of oxytocin and ask me to describe my childhood, I may actually have more negative memories about my relationship with my mother. So one theory that's emerging about oxytocin is that what it does is it encodes social information. And that if that social information is negative, oxytocin will enhance the negativeness of that social memory. Whereas if that social information is positive, like a rewarding love-based relationship or romantic connection, then oxytocin may enhance the salience of those social cues as well. And the deal is that oxytocin works in tandem with dopamine. At least they're sure that it does in voles, and they think that it does in humans. So the idea is that oxytocin heightens the social salience, the social information, and then dopamine sort of tags it as a reward. And it's that conjunctive action of these two neurotransmitters that are sort of causing this effect. So that's the research on oxytocin. There's other research we can get into maybe after the break.
Yeah, let's do this. But let's take a quick commercial break and let's pick it up on the other side. We're talking...
There you go.
...with Brian Earp. We're talking about the neuroenhancement of relationships and love. Maybe something in your future. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today. Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. Are you in the midst of cutting body fat? Feel exhausted when it's time to train but don't want to use pre-workout drinks because they're loaded with sugar and carbs? Ice V2 is here to help you get intense while carbohydrate depleted. Ice V2 has only 1 gram of non-sugar carbs per serving. Ice V2 is loaded with strength-amplifying anabolic activators that will make your workouts more productive while allowing you to cut the fat. Cut the fat. Loaded with amino acids, Ice V2 contains the unique Formel Norvaline that acts as a pump amplifier. Get Ice V2 today at xfmuscle.com.
If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Regish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Brian Earp. We're talking about the neuro enhancement of love and relationships. Okay, so oxytocin and dopamine, those I had a feeling played a role, because dopamine is the feel-good hormone. It's also linked to libido and desire. What else?
Yeah.
What else?
Well, there's different things. I mean, the main thing we've advocated for in our paper is to start doing controlled research into this area. The last thing we want to get pegged with is this idea that we're suggesting people should sort of wantonly run out and start messing with their brain chemistry before the results are in. So, you know,
yes,
even
yes,
with oxytocin.
Yes, Brian, this is not the 70s any longer.
Yeah, exactly,
could, that's know. what my generation did readily every single day. We messed with our brain chemistry.
Since you bring up the 70s, you know, one thing that was done in actually late 70s and 80s was sometimes that ecstasy or MDMA was used in couples therapy before it was illegal, before it was put on as a class A drug. Was sometimes actually MDMA was administered in couples therapy with the idea of it being that it would sort of enhance empathy and trust and
right.
open couples up to new ways of thinking and so on. And what you've actually seen in the last 5, 7, 8 years, a resurgence of interest by scientists, some at Johns Hopkins and other places, in these powerful psychotropic drugs. To see sort of what could possibly be therapeutic effects of them. So LSD, for example, has been used to potentially treat alcoholism, again, in a controlled lab setting.
How fun.
There's been some research on psilocybin in sort of magic mushrooms and seeing what sort of effect that has on people. And it's curious because there's a sort of 40-year taboo of doing research in this area after it sort of fell out of favor in the 60s. And you're starting to see a little bit of effort coming back in and trying to get actually controlled information. Well, could there potentially be a safe dose of one of these things? What are the long-term effects? Could there be positive outcomes and so on? So it's interesting that you know, decades ago, there was love drugs research going on. Ecstasy was being used, or rather MDMA was being used in the setting before much was known about.
So was methaqualine, as I remember, a Quaalude. That was also being prescribed by psychiatrists to their couples, patients who were having difficulty in the bedroom because mm-hmm. trust issues occurred. And so they would prescribe Quaalude for both the man and the woman, and you know, obviously that was a drug very popular in the 70s as well.
Right. So, you know, in the situation we're in right now, ecstasy is, I think, it's a class A or Schedule 1 controlled substance. It's up there with heroin and cocaine in terms of federal prohibition in the U.S. So One thing we have to sort of hit on the head is we're not at all suggesting that a couple should rush out, as we say, and descend into an opium den of, you know, ecstatic manipulation of their brains before we know, you know, hardly anything about safety considerations and dosages and whether it would even be effective in the ways that it, we think it might be and so on. But it's just to give an example of the sort of thing that may be possible in the future. You know, we get more information about these things, and if we consider our papers coming out as sort of a call to research, the basic idea is just the relationships are central. You know, you have whole journals dedicated to, say, you know, coughing or you know, some tiny subject, and you know, have papers come out and out and out. But the central thing around which we organize our whole lives, relationships and love and romance, there's just hardly been any research in that, because for a long time it was considered the province of philosophers and poets, and the idea that scientists could study something as abstract and poetical as love was seen as ridiculous. And yet we're starting to figure out that there's hardly anything more central to the way that we conduct our lives. There's hardly anything more important about decisions that we make. Our long-term health and well-being depends on the quality of our relationships, including our romantic relationships. And we're starting to understand that the quality of our relationships has a lot to do with what's going on in our brains. So the more that we can sort of connect the dots between these different considerations and think about whether there may be interventions that can improve the quality of our relationships, we just think that it's worth studying, that this should be a big area for research. Now, of course, people will say, well, listen, you know, just because you understand how love works in the brain doesn't mean that you have to manipulate it with drugs. Why don't you manipulate it by going for a walk or, you know, having sex or doing these sorts of things? I mean, having sex releases oxytocin, and it releases it endemically, you know, endogenously, rather.
Right.
You know, and what's wrong with that? And indeed, there's nothing wrong with that. People already have a sense of the sorts of things you should do to improve your relationship. Sometimes in couples counseling, they'll say, you know, well, you should go on dates with your partner more, and you should have sex more.
But here's the problem with the chicken and egg.
Yeah.
That I learned myself, and that's what brought me to Suzanne Brzezindine's book.
Yeah.
Okay, we have one job on this planet. Forget about self-actualization and Maslow's laws and all that. And that is, we're supposed to live long enough to have offspring and then die. That's it. We're like every other organism on the planet, except that we have the ability to rationalize and symbolize, and that really is where we get into trouble. So with that being said, our job is to have children and evacuate the planet. And the hormonal messengers of that journey are the sex steroids, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, pregnenolone, DHEA. They tell us there's still time left to procreate, or you're done and you're on the other side of the hill now. It's time for you to get ready to vacate the planet. When those hormones start to go away, you don't feel like dating anymore. You don't feel like courting. You don't have the emotional energy to be nice, and you become grumpy and mean. That's both men and women. So I say the first step in all of this is to fool the body into thinking it's still on the other side of the hill and there's still a chance that you can have babies. So that the body goes, oh, we've got to keep repairing things, and we have to keep putting out that emotional energy to court and love and be kind and courteous, as opposed to the other side where, you know, you sit in front of the TV, fart and pick your nose, and your wife looks at you and goes, how did I end up with this guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's exactly right. That's the whole idea is, you know, the information we're getting from our genes and our hormones is pointing us in one direction, and yet the things that we consciously value, and the things that we, coming out of history and politics and all those economic considerations and the sort of model that of relationships and marriage that we've stumbled into in the last 200 years, that's really important to us, and it's important to us even if our genes don't agree with us. It's important, you know, just because we've got some sort of imperative to reproduce doesn't mean that that's what we have to value as people. Now, some people push this argument the other way, and they say, well, listen, why do we value lifelong monogamy? Let's just get rid of it. I mean, hey, we're animals just like everybody else. We shouldn't be trying to hold ourselves up to some sort of standard we can't meet. But I think there's a fallacy in that, and basically it's a naturalistic fallacy. It's that if something is natural, therefore it's good. We should just behave the way we are, you know?
Right.
All sorts of things that are natural aren't good. Cancer's natural and isn't good. Rape occurs in nature. Chimpanzees appear to rape each other. It seems that there's evidence that our ancestors did this. That's a highly sexual drive that has to potentially do with being a reproductive strategy for low-status ancestral males. There's some theories to that effect. But that doesn't mean that we should value that or say, well, let's go ahead and do it. Now,
there may be
convincing arguments, compelling arguments for that people shouldn't expect of each other to enter into lifelong monogamous relationships and stay together for decades and decades after the kids are grown and so on. And some couples may indeed choose not to pursue that route, and they may have open relationships or something like this. But when you look at the statistics, you find it's in the high 90% of people who really are striving in Western societies to follow this particular model. And this model may have weaknesses. This model may not be ideal. There may be some tinkering that needs to happen with this model. But so long as we hold values that are different from our genetic imperative, we have to figure out how to make up the difference.
Uh-huh.
And what we used to make up the difference was by changing our social and legal environment by making it impossible, as you said, to get a divorce.
Yeah, right.
So if there is no way to get out of that relationship, then by God, you're going to stay in it. That's it. But we think in the modern era that being able to get out of relationships is an important part of human freedom. We want our relationships to last. We don't want them to fall apart. We care about this person that's become our best friend that we've invested 20 or 30 years of our life into. And if our body starts, the biochemical signals are starting to fade, and we find it hard, in a bodily sense, to get that motivation to engage with this person that we've invested so much into, well, why not figure out if we could make some sort of intervention on the biochemical side of the equation? And that's exactly the idea. You've hit it right on the head.
We have to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about dimethyltryptamine just for a second and find out if you guys are looking into this. This has been implicated as the spirit molecule since we talked about psilocybin a little while ago. It seems that this has some psychedelic effects, but it's closely related to tryptophan and serotonin. And if that plays any role in all of this discussion, we're talking with Brian Earp. We're talking about the neuroenhancement of love and relationships coming to a pharmacy near you very shortly. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Making that long path, tearing off tights with my teeth, but there's no
room. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Calling all men. The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Guys and gals, are you over 30 with a poor sex drive? Gaining unwanted fat or feel weak or tired? You may be suffering from hormone imbalances that
can be treated affordably by physician-supervised hormone therapy. Why wait to feel like you again? Call Core Medical Group now to schedule your hormone check and save $100 when you mention Superhuman Radio. Call 617-869-7961. That's 617-869-7961. Physical and medical history required prior to therapy. Some restrictions apply. Call for details, 617-869-7961. Feel like you again.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Brian Earp. We're talking about neuroenhancement of relationships, pharmacological interventions to make you love again, make you feel connected, or maybe help you weather the storm of a breakup. Imagine taking a pill and going, you know what, I really don't care about him anymore. That's amazing. Give me more. Okay. What about DMT? Dimethyltryptamine is making a real big hit, especially thanks to Joe Rogan and his documentary on it. Does it play any role in this discussion?
Well, I haven't done research into DMT specifically, so I won't be able to say anything very interesting about it, and maybe you should take the floor to kind of fill in on the sort of information you've got on it. I mean, I know a little bit about it, and it has this similar idea. It has a pretty powerful psychedelic effect on the brain. It's traditionally sometimes used in these Amazonian ceremonies called ayahuasca ceremonies, People kind of find ways to do that. That's where they take the plant and they boil it and mix it with something and you drink it. Obviously psychedelic drugs have huge effects on the brain, and people who came out of the 60s and 70s used them and tried them and figured out subjectively what was going on. The problem is, since they've fallen out of favor for any sort of academic research for such a long time, is that we don't know a whole lot about the specifics of how they act in the brain and what would be safe doses or not, and whether they could be. And that research is just starting to pick up again on different, you know, psilocybin, magic mushrooms, LSD,
right.
MDMA. That's starting to happen now. I think it's good that it's happening. There's no reason why we shouldn't try to assess the effect of these chemicals on the brain. Some of them have analogs that are produced naturally by our own bodies. And just to try to learn more about whether there could be therapeutic value to some of these drugs, where side effects and so on could be minimized. That research needs to be done, and I can't comment very much on it because there's just not a lot of
DMT in particular is closely related to melatonin, and it may be that, and I know humans produce some small amounts of DMT in the brain through an enzymatic conversion. It could be that that's how we dream. You know, sometimes people say, you know, I had a dream about my dad who's been gone for, you know, decades, and it was so real. I was like sitting there talking to him. You know, could be that we're experiencing DMT then. But also, there is some discussion about DMT being what humans consider the spirit. You know, we talk about the spirit in the same context we talk about love and soulmates. You know, I feel connected to this person on such a deep level. And it could be that there's some interplay with some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Branding, if you will, maybe during sleep by DMT that makes us feel closer to this person. Just the same way oxytocin builds bonds, maybe DMT builds the sensation of storybook love. You know, because that obviously that's an excursion from reality, and if you've in order for you to believe in that, you have to kind of leave reality gently and say, no, this person is my soulmate. I've been with this person in another life. People say stuff like that all the time.
Yeah, they're very interesting ideas. If I knew more about it, I'd comment more intelligently. But I think that these ideas are worth testing. Certainly, when you talk about the sort of experience of love and lust and attachment. Helen Fisher has done a lot of work on this. She doesn't mention DMT. She does mention adrenaline and natural endorphins and serotonin, dopamine, these sorts of classic players that we hear about all the time now, and oxytocin and vasopressin and so on. So her models tend to be based on these sorts of chemicals, chemicals mostly produced by the brain itself. And as you say, there are, seem to be trace amounts of DMT that can be detectable in the blood, although as far as I remember, there's some controversy over some of those studies. So there may be, again, sort of natural analogs that do exist and are produced by our own brains. But the overriding principle is the same, is, you know, we have the capacity to intervene in these systems through different drugs, drugs produced by our bodies, drugs produced in nature, drugs produced in plants. And rather than taking this sort of blanket stand that we just should never intervene in our own brain.
Yeah, never tamper with love. That's off the table. Never tamper with love, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, there's this funny quote from George Bernard Shaw. I wish I had it right in front of me, but he says something like, you know, love is one of the most violent, most insane, most delusional of passions, and for some reason we've decided to make our marriages based upon this fragile, unstable, irrational kind of a thing. And there's a lot of sense to that. For a lot of human history, the idea that you would form a marriage, which was considered basically an economic institution,
right,
on the basis of this loving feeling was absurd and considered actually a threat to the social order. How could any marriage last if it was based on something so fleeting and fragile and irrational as love?
And we may be seeing that today in our culture with 50% divorce.
That's exactly it. Because we don't have these strong social pressures forcing us to stay together, relationships now tend to rise and fall on the back of this qualitative, subjective feeling of love. And if we don't feel in love anymore, we often find ourselves saying, well, why am I in this relationship? That's why I got into it. That's why I made this commitment, is because I love this person, but I just don't feel it anymore. And there's different things to do about it. You know, you go to counseling and they'll come up with sort of non-biochemical ways to try to get you to feel in love again. And, you know, that means going on, having an adventure, going on a trip, getting your dopamine levels released by some sort of surprising event. You know, there's sort of ways to do it that are indirect and sometimes inefficient. And there's just no reason not to explore possibly more direct ways of achieving some of these similar effects, because we are in the world that we're in. We want to have our relationships based on love rather than based on sort of this idea that I just will stay with you forever, just no matter what, even though I don't derive any happiness from it, neither do you. Well, why are we together then? Yeah, we value well-being. We value feeling like our lives are flourishing, and the notion that we'd be trapped in a relationship because of historical and economic considerations for decades on end, even though we're both depressed, I just don't think modern couples are very likely to go for that sort of normative model. And so there's room for thinking, well, then maybe we need to get our feelings of love to be able to rise to the challenge of our modern values, and what's some research that can help us achieve that goal.
You know, I'm a poet. I write love poetry to Elisa. I believe in love. I didn't believe in it to the degree I believe in it now until I met her. There was something about her. But so I'm listening to this, and while part of my brain understands it, the other part of my brain continues to cling to the notion that no, there's something spiritual about love. There's something magical about love. There's something that when you really love somebody, things happen differently. And even if it is chemical, what is it about that person that elicits that response in you? And that comes back to probably selection pressures to some degree. Maybe that's the attraction that we need to seek out the mate that fits us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we're attracted to people who are terrible for us, so we know it's not a fail-proof system. I mean, we can be very heavily attracted to someone who has completely different values or who has a different notion about how finances should go in the household or whatever, and you find yourself forming this love-based, ecstatic relationship with someone, and then you find out you can't parent together, or you have completely different goals for how the next decades of your life will go. So, you know, that's how we all come into the world feeling about love. We get so excited about it, and then the more we look around and see relationships failing, we go, well, hold on, we better start thinking about this a little bit more carefully, because it seems self-justifying. It feels so wonderful to be in love with someone, and it seems like that's all you need to know. But if it is all you need to know, then there's this question of why is there so much heartbreak in the world? Why are relationships falling apart left and right? Why are people who have young, vulnerable children so displeased with each other that they get a divorce and make the children grow up in separate households, shuttled back and forth, and have their whole lives disrupted
because
the parents just can't get along with each other? And these are people who were desperately in love when they said, I do. And, you know, 5 years later, 6 years later, 7 years later, what happened? So I think the idea of thinking a little bit about love is not allowing ourselves necessarily to be swept up into this irrational ecstasy, but rather to think carefully about what are the circumstances under which love can survive and thrive, and when is it conducive to human flourishing, and when does it potentially interfere with flourishing? And if we're not willing to think about some of these things, I mean, sure, it doesn't sound very romantic to talk about love in terms of oxytocin and neurotransmitters and the hypothalamus and the nucleus accumbens, but that's what's going on. That's the phenomenon, whether we want to talk about it or not.
No, I know.
Of course,
you're right.
The symbolic value that we place on it and the way we talk about it, and we can philosophize and write poetry about it, and that's important. But I think there could be potentially a use, especially when you look at, love has two sides. It's got the ecstasy and it's got the despair. And some of this despair can be debilitating. It can have bad effects on, kids when they're involved sometimes. And just trying to figure out why does that happen? And can we take that love that we write poems about and want to write poems about, and can we figure out how to foster its continued survival and make it central to our relationships, even into our old age when our brain chemistry isn't helping us keep up? And
we can. It's called testosterone. Brian, we've gone long. We have to pull the plug on the interview. It's been an insightful and titillating interview, to say the least. And I'm looking forward to future work. I really am. I hope you guys
can. It's
been
a pleasure speaking with you, Carl. Thanks for this thoughtful interview.
Take care. All right, so there you have it. Thanks to Rob Regish during the first hour for doing the Blueprint Power Hour. And then, of course, thanks to Brian Earp for coming on and talking about the neuroenhancement of love and relationships. We'll see you tomorrow.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.